Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Attention sellers, Mid-Delta Auction in Greenwood is taking consignments for the end of the year auction. Friday, December 12th, get max exposure. Call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 or visit mdauction.com. Consign now.
All right, welcome in, post-game edition. And for those of you that are here, what are you doing? Why are you not out celebrating last home game, regular season home game of the year? Ole Miss did a lot of horrible things tonight for most of the game, but it doesn't matter because they won. And when you're talking about playoffs and postseason and whatever cliche you want to use, the biggest one is survive and advance. And Ole Miss, despite their best efforts at times, survived, and they are advancing to an opportunity to guarantee themselves a playoff spot, a home game, and possibly even a bye with a win in the Egg Bowl. I think they were being a little bit strong with the guarantee playoff spot thing. You're seeing that on Twitter as well. I don't think it's a guarantee. It can get very weird if you lose to Mississippi State and other stuff happens around you. So I'm not quite sure it's a guarantee yet. They're not a lock yet. However, survive in advance. Ole Miss moves to 10-1. Mississippi State currently getting beaten down pretty bad by Missouri and their third string quarterback. It's 42-24 as we start this recording. So obviously we'll talk about the Egg Bowl more as the week goes on. And I'm just going to go ahead and get rid of some of these Florida accounts before we even get going. Don't even waste your time responding to them as I see them. I'm just going to go ahead and send them on their way, because there's no point in engaging with that kind of stuff tonight. 34-24, the final score. Ole Miss beats Florida. This is your post-game show on the Rebel Report podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you guys are with me. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Would love to hear from you. And we will get into it after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That is the website, and they will take care of you. They'll give you $1,000 off on me, $1,000 off on me on any in-stock new Toyota, as long as you just tell them that I sent you. One of the highest-rated service departments in the state, and they, again, outstanding car buying experience, conveniently located. Check out their online inventory before you make the trip down there, but it is worth it. At Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver for you. All right, box score stuff as always, and then we'll get to your comments. Again, Ole Miss wins 34-24. Trinidad Chambliss, well, what's interesting about his night is he did two things that are, I think, essentially worth 14 points for Florida. You had the fourth down where he threw the ball in the dirt. The play call was good. If he just completes that easy pass to Trey Wallace, that's a touchdown. Instead, Ole Miss turns it over on downs. So there's 7 points there. And then the interception led to a Florida touchdown deep in Ole Miss's own territory. Those two things aside, which is weird to say because those are really significant plays, Trinidad was good tonight. Again, pretty efficient, 26 of 35, 301, had a touchdown in there as well. Ran the football well when he had to. I know his that the stats don't show it, but he was effective with his legs when he needed to. But I'm burying the lead. This game is all about Keewon Lacy. 31 carries, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns. Should have been 5 if they just give him the football in the red zone, or excuse me, in goal-to-go situations. More on that in a second. 7.2 yards per carry. The bye week is coming at a great time for Keewon Lacy, because my goodness, does he need the rest. But what an outstanding performance. And look, if Ole Miss closes this season the way that they should, the way that they are in line to do, the way that they're favored to do. If they finish strong, the Kiwon Lacy game needs to be up there with some of the all-time great performances in individual game performances in Ole Miss sports history. I mean, it's a lot of recency bias, but you can point to Sean Padula's march as one of those things that you should remember forever, right? Dylan DeLucia in the College World Series. If Ole Miss does make the playoff, if they do close, you got to point to this game as one of those where one player just put a team on his back and, I mean, absolutely carried them to a win in a spot where, I mean, everything was on the line. The pressure on this team, as you can imagine, is really high, knowing that the playoffs were in their grasp. All kinds of bad things happening around them. Bad turnovers, bad play calling decisions. It was a bad night. Ole Miss did a lot of really bad things tonight, but Kiwon Lacy just over and over and over again put the team on his back and won the game for Ole Miss tonight. And also on the other side of the field, we'll get to more box score in a second, but let me read through Ole Miss's stats and then we'll get to the other reason why Ole Miss won. It's Kiwon Lacy in defense. We'll get to them in just a second. Trey Wallace had 68 yards on his six catches. Dejon Stribling had 76 yards on his four, including a touchdown. Man, his speed is deceptive. Catches that little pass over the middle, goes for 43 yards and a touchdown. Caden Lee had four for 48. Again, this Ole Miss offense spread the football around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different Rebels caught passes tonight. 9, if you want to count, Trinidad completing a pass to himself and getting a first down. Wydette Williams led Ole Miss in tackles tonight with 8. He also had that key interception after the Centurion Perkins batted pass. Will Eccles had 6, also had a half of a TFL mixed in there. Centurion Perkins had a hit on the quarterback, 5 tackles, but 2 passes defended. One of them obviously led to the interception. Prince Will Umanmielen had a big sack in there as well. And here's the other half. So it was Kiwon Lacy, and then here is Florida's stats by quarter. Okay, Florida's stats by quarter. They had 35 rushing yards, 51 passing yards in the first quarter. They had 33 rushing yards and 104 passing yards in the second quarter. So they had 86 yards in the first quarter, 137 yards in the second quarter. They averaged 6 yards per play in the first, 8 yards per play in the second. In the third quarter, 10 rushing yards, 41 passing yards, 0 for 2 on third down. In the second quarter, Florida was 3 for 3 on third down, 0 for 2 on third down in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, Florida had 30 rushing yards and 22 passing yards and 2.7 yards per play. And Ole Miss got 3 third down stops in the fourth quarter as well. Obviously, 0 points given up. Had an interception, multiple turnover on downs, 0s on the scoreboard. Defensively, they were awful in the first half. They gave up a couple of big plays. A lot of communication issues in there as well. There were times where you had Ole Miss defenders with their hands like this when the ball was snapped. And some miscommunication in the back end of the defense as well. And it looked like they were just totally out of sorts. And in the second half, totally different. Tackled well, much better. And so Kiwon Lacy and then defense was spectacular for Ole Miss in the second half. I've seen you guys have made some comments about it, so we'll talk about the goal line play calling and more after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business and you need office technology anywhere in Mississippi, in any kind of office tech, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get an assessment on me. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Again, 16 locations. So there's likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. All right. So I am just currently refreshing to see if and when Lane's postgame is going to start, because as you guys were probably watching, there is story beyond just the results of this game. You guys know my stance on it. I think it's really unfortunate that you guys are having to watch a game in which your team won their 10th game of the season and are in prime position for the playoffs and had an incredible home environment and all of the things that happened. And they're talking about the possibility of your coach leaving. I cannot stand how this has been handled, but it is what it is. So that is the other half. I'm just refreshing to see if any quote comes out. I assume that there is going to be questions asked about Florida. I think it's hard to avoid at this point. I mean, they even had a recruit in town today that last night after his high school football game is on video talking about how great he's a Florida commit, how great it would be, and they would win championships if he goes to Florida. That guy was in Oxford today. Ole Miss paid his way to visit Ole Miss today. There's going to be questions, and so if anything pops up, no, the press conference does not stream anywhere. Trust me, I would have that up, and I would just be playing it for you guys if it was. I would just be playing it for you right now. But we'll get some of your comments. Gosh, that was close. Think he stays after that. We'll see. That a reverse on the goal line is dumb as hell. Two. So you get third and goal from the three, and what is it? Third and goal from the one. And both times you didn't get it on third and you went for it on fourth. And both times Kewon Lacy didn't touch it on either one. This is a guy that is absolutely cooking that Florida defense. The jumbo package has really worked all night and all season. And you get cute with this Austin Simmons to Trinidad reverse pass thing that doesn't work. And look, pass should have been completed on fourth down the first time. Trinidad threw it in the dirt. But why are you even putting them in that position when you've got Kewon doing what he's doing with the jumbo package? That did work, you saw, in a goal-to-go situation. So you got too cute, and it cost you. You get into the – so it's third and goal from the three, and you do this under-center rollout pass thing. Nobody's open. And then you try to hit Daquan Wright. It was pass interference. It should have been called. But, again, you've got Kewon Lacy. You have four opportunities to get him the football from the three or inside the three, and you don't give it to him at all. That is, I mean, it's mind-numbing is what that is. And I can't fathom why in those spots Kewon Lacy is not, hey, just give it to him twice and you see what happens. That's... You give it to him twice, you see what happens. If you don't get it, that's fine. But I would much rather not get it on fourth down from the one or on fourth down from the three with that jumbo package, giving it to Kewon Lacy, than doing this reverse thing or trying to throw that deep against a talented Florida defense, mind you. I don't understand it. And that's all I can say. I wish I had something more profound for you. That is a very elementary, take. Lane Kiffin was asked if he was going to continue being the head coach. He said, quote, "I love what we're doing here. Today was awesome, but I'm not talking about that stuff." So it sounds like that is what it's going to be right now. I simply don't think that you can continue on that for the next 12 days. He says it would be disrespectful to players. No way. That can't be a real quote. I need to hear that. It would be disrespectful to players to talk about. Come on, man. Come on. It would be disrespectful to players. What about the people that fund you? Disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful having that, you know. It was a good win. Vibes are good. I'm not going to ruin them. Egg Bowl's always a toss-up. Yeah, it'll be tough. And Mississippi State's strength is they have a pair of wide receivers that can really beat teams vertically. And Ole Miss's defensive secondary is a problem. But, I mean, right now, Mississippi State's playing a third-string quarterback. They've given up 49 points, and he's thrown for 112 yards, and he has an interception. Ahmad Hardy's going to run for 300 yards tonight, so Kewon Lacy might not even be the leading rusher in the SEC this week. Hardy has 268 yards on 14 yards per carry against that State defense right now. They have finally become what they were a year ago, and I mean, this is Missouri with no passing threat running on them like this, so I would assume that Ole Miss offensively is going to have a pretty substantial advantage, at least when it comes to that. So, yeah. Anyway, I still can't get over that. It would be disrespectful to players quote. That makes me laugh, actually. That actually truly makes me laugh. All right. Toddy in the chat just came to say Kewon is him. He is him. Defense showed life in the second half. More than life. Shut them down in the second half. Why does whoever calls plays lose their mind on goal-to-go situations? I think they called a good game tonight, too. That's what's so baffling about it, is the way that they are calling offense with Trinidad at quarterback, I think, has been really good. I mean, I saw a lot of – I still don't understand how, at this point in this season, you can hate Charlie Weiss Jr. I don't understand it. Actually, I do, because Lane gets all the credit for good offense and Weiss gets all the blame for bad offense. But offensively this year, they've been pretty awesome. And that's what makes what they're doing in goal-to-go situations so bizarre, because everywhere else on the field, they have called really good offense this year. They spread the football out. They're running well. Kewon's been awesome. They're using the tight ends. Trinidad's been efficient. I mean, he's not perfect. He's not a football-playing robot, but you've done a lot of really good things until you get to the 3-yard line, and then it's just like you forget how to function. I don't get it at all, because offensively this year they've been very impressive. It does help that it is the noon game this year for Ole Miss being in Starkville. It's actually at 11 a.m., give you an hour earlier. And, I mean, transparently, Mississippi State's had a really hard time selling tickets this year. This is the Egg Bowl, of course, but there were empty seats in a good bit of them when Georgia came to town. There were empty seats and visible ones when Texas came to town. There weren't many for Tennessee, but that's because you guys saw the pictures for the Tennessee game. They're having a hard time putting butts in seats and getting beat badly at home and then going to Missouri. And I mean, they're down 25 right now, getting beat badly there too. It's not going to, I don't think, inspire a fan base. Again, it's the Egg Bowl. They'll still be jacked up for it. They want to try to ruin Ole Miss's season and all that, but I don't think it'll be as intense as they have been in years past because of day, time of day, and kind of limping in to this game. And again, they've struggled selling tickets this season and last season too, but you can understand that a little bit more. 10-1, an unbelievable accomplishment. They still have more to go. They still have more to go. Still looking for more quotes from Lane, by the way. Again, just I don't talk about that stuff, is what he said. It's his stock answer. The disrespectful part makes me laugh. But that is his stock answer, always. It always has been. I don't think that can be the line without something happening between now and the Egg Bowl. Something will happen between now and then. If you made me bet right now, I think you're going to know before that game kicks off on Black Friday. I really do. I think you will know one way or another. Belt to rear end, regardless, anyone in the SEC is good enough. I mean, especially considering that, I mean, it wasn't perfect. They did a lot of poor things tonight. But if Trinidad just doesn't kind of vomit all over himself in those two plays, I mean, what's the score of that game? 42-13, you know? It's totally different. But he didn't, and those things happened, and the game was close. But yet again, they played better than their opponent in the second half of an important game. Same thing with South Carolina. Same thing in Norman, which, by the way, how good is that win aging, by the way, going to Norman and beating that team? Boy, that is aging like a fine wine. But they outplayed Oklahoma in the second half. They outplayed LSU in the second half. This is a team that I think it's pretty clear that they have a really strong – I mean, they're well coached, obviously. They're well coached. But I think this is a football team that very clearly has a strong core of leadership. And I think that shines in situations like this game. A lesser team with lesser leadership loses tonight's game. But they didn't. One game away from greatness, absolutely. The officiating was completely in rookie mode tonight. I mean, the hands to the face thing is just egregious. It especially when you admit to the coach, like, hey, that did happen during the course of the play. Well, then why didn't you fix it? You gave yourselves a lot of time to discuss it. How do you get it wrong after you've conversed on that? To be honest with you, the illegal man downfield, which was an amazing play by Chambliss that got taken away, but that is the correct call. I know he was far away from the play. Kutis should not have been in that position. I don't have no idea what he was doing, just like walking forward as your quarterback's trying to throw a pass. That's on him. That's not on officiating. That's a fine call. It's way behind the play, didn't impact it at all, but he was an illegal man downfield. He should not have been in that position. The hands to the face thing is just an atrocity. I mean, it's just egregious. I have no idea how that ends the way that ended. Makes no sense at all. But it did, and that's a weekly occurrence in the SEC. I don't know how you can't review a personal foul penalty like that either. Defense did an awesome job in the second half, absolutely. I mean, it looked like they missed the pass interference on Daquan in the fourth. They missed that. They absolutely, I mean, he was holding him. You can see a easy jersey pull. Daquan's trying to bring up his right arm. It's a well-thrown football. It's obviously to his back shoulder. He's got an inside defender, so he's trying to get Daquan to turn around, and Daquan couldn't. He tried, but he couldn't because he was getting pulled. They made up for it, though, on the PI that wasn't, I forget who it was, but on Florida's ensuing possession. Because that was pass interference. So those two things balanced out. Wasn't pretty, but you've seen Ole Miss lose that game many times. Many, many times. Many times. Game ball goes to Lacey. Is there something more, something bigger than a game ball? Lane Kiffin is getting pressed in this press conference. Apparently, he was asked how he kept his team focused on the game and what he had to say to fans wanting clarity. His response to the guy was, "I feel like you're a Florida guy." I would like to see more of that quote. When they post this thing, and they'll do it later, we'll have to go back and watch it to see kind of this the tone of this, because interesting stuff. He also said, I think we're in the good old days right now. Does he watch The Office? Because that sounds like he's pulling an Andy Bernard quote there. Play by Trinidad that got taken away because of lineman downfield was epic. It really was. Stiff arm. I mean, that was incredible. Love this team's resilience. Oklahoma had all the momentum. They held. Florida had momentum. They held. Special group. Absolutely. Need that second half defense all game long, not just second halves. At least they got it. What do I think about Theo saying Lane isn't going anywhere? I would not. Here's the thing about that. Oh, I'm sorry. Allergies are killing me. We got a lot of text into the radio show Friday with Ross Dellinger's article and was like, see, he's not going anywhere. I'm sorry. until it's actually formally announced, trying to read into social media posts or quotes and articles or what a comedian says, I think you're going to drive yourself mad. This very easily could end. He's choosing not to end it for whatever reason, but this could end. Right now, it could end. Ole Miss today would make him the highest paid coach in college football. And then Kirby would get a bump to pass him and stuff. But right now, that's what it would be. I mean, Elko signed his extension with A&M today. Is that disrespectful to players? No. Obviously, Cignetti did it. Rhett Lashley did it. And so on and so forth. You can put this to bed. He's choosing not to. And as long as you keep winning, it doesn't matter. But I would advise against trying to read into quotes or anything and trying to make them more that they are. It's very easy to make this definitive. And right now, he is choosing not to. All right, I'm going to listen to this quote, actually. I'll go ahead and play it for you guys, too. Forgive me if there's bad language in it. The Ole Miss Spirit is who posted this on Twitter, but I just kind of want to listen to it. I think this will be full context on the quote. So here it is. You'll hear it too. Oh, he said, I feel like you're a Florida guy.
You know, I don't think we're distracted. You know, 530 yards today on offense seems pretty focused. So, but we've been dealing with what people would say been a distraction for weeks now. We've been out of Oklahoma, it's a pretty good team. So, I think it's different nowadays. I told you, I think kids think differently.
It just essentially, you know, we're not playing like we're distracted. What was his stock answer? So, nothing yet, nothing noteworthy. I kind of figured it would go. And On Three, of course, is clickbaiting the to talk about it right now would be disrespectful to the players, quote, but go figure. So I guess that's it for Lane. Nothing there. God bless that last touchdown and buying 1.5. A point. My lock of the week on the radio show missed by a point. That sucked. This game should not have been this close. The Florida Gators had potential, and with a good coach, they could have been something. They could have. I was just texting your son the same thing. Lacey earned the bye week. He certainly did. A lot of comments. If I'm skipping them, it's just to avoid being repetitive. I really appreciate each and every single one of you guys for being here, no doubt. Lacey for Heisman, who's more important to their team. Unfortunately, he won't. Trinidad is the more nationally recognized player from Ole Miss, and he did throw for 300 yards today, too. So if anybody sneaks their way into an invite to the ceremony, it's going to be him. But he played like one tonight. He absolutely played like one tonight. Loved watching Kiffin hand Lacey his belt. That was pretty funny. How far does Ole Miss move up with Alabama dropping? One spot. They'll just move up one spot, I think. Texas Tech was impressive today as well. And remember, Florida was 3-6. So, say Florida played their best game of the year. That or Georgia. Or when they beat the hell out of Texas. Remember, that did happen. Lane seemed disinterested in this game. I don't know what game you were watching. Of all the things that I don't like that he has done handling all of this, and there's a lot that I don't like, I think it is seeking to see something that's not really there. If you are watching the way he has coached all season, especially tonight, and thinking that he was disengaged mentally from the result, there's just... There's no way you can watch the way he coached the game and think, he doesn't really care about the outcome. Georgia beating Texas, probably not much movement in the polls. Yeah, just one spot. And a terrific spot to host the Group of Five team in Oxford with Bama losing. Absolutely. I know this is kind of, this sounds dumb. I would rather the playoff game be in Oxford than you get a bye and have to play it in the Orange Bowl or whatever. I really think that This is, I think that Ole Miss and the fans in particular deserve a home playoff game. I think you guys deserve to feel what that will feel like. I know it's not the same. It's apples to oranges. But you guys know I grew up going to Furman games. Furman football is my first love. Those playoff games are like core memories to me. I will never forget them. I mean, that poster right up there is from when they beat Western Kentucky in the playoffs in 2001. And I'll never forget that game. I was with my dad, obviously. We stormed the field after the game. It was amazing. And that's Furman. You know, that's 10,000 people. If they can pull it off, if they win the Egg Bowl and host that playoff game, that will be a feeling that you guys have never felt before as a sports fan. And I truly mean that. That's not hyperbole. It'll feel different than even winning a national championship in baseball. I will stand firm on that. I think you guys deserve that. Unfortunately for that one, I'd probably end up sitting up in the press box and not amongst you guys, which is a so much more enjoyable place to watch a football game, by the way, is amongst the fans and not in a press box. I hate press boxes. I don't sit in them. I do not enjoy them. So anyway, glad Lane got after the refs will likely result in a fine, but it's probably the only public accountability they will receive. Yeah, I mean, he even dropped an F-bomb on the radio broadcast, but they deserve that. And hell, you're about to make $13 million a year. What's a $25,000 fine anyway? But he was exactly right. And somebody had to say it. And so worst non-PI call I've ever seen, I don't care. Well, it wouldn't have made a difference in the game. Also, one should have been called on Daquan Wright earlier. And also, Mr. Florida fan, look at the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game. If you have not seen that, that is the worst no-PI call that you have ever seen. That was a highlight reel. Honestly, the quarterback threw it to himself. Yeah, that was amazing. Wasn't pretty, but Florida played above their performance of all the games they have this year. Yeah. Kiwon Lacy's going to make a lot of money in the NFL because he does it all, right? He did have a drop tonight, but catches the ball out of the backfield, pass protection really good, vision really good, balance really good. I mean, he's a complete back. What does he do poorly? What is the answer to that question? What does Kiwon Lacy do poorly? So many comments about Kiwon Lacy, and he deserves each and every one of them. Set attendance record tonight. I figured that was coming, 68,000. That stadium should not hold 68,000, but they squeezed him in there for sure. I am very against stadium expansion because I don't think it's necessary, but if they actually do, which I guess there's rumors that they are going to announce some kind of stadium project soon. Getting up to 70 wouldn't be the worst thing. It would be tough to do that every game, but 68,000 is really impressive. Don't think it was Ole Miss playing bad. Think Florida just played well. Yeah, but Ole Miss did a lot to keep them in the game too, though. As a team that follows analytics, can we review the two quarterback on the field at one time success rate? It's like, I mean, it's 0%, right? Just going to go ahead and continue to get these Florida people out of here. I think the goal line stuff with Simmons is unfair to him. I'm really high on the future with Simmons, and we're setting him up to fail with the short yardage stuff. Yeah, I don't like it either. I mean, nothing about it really makes sense to me. Early Egg Bowl prediction. I think Mississippi State's going to score a lot in that game, and I think Ole Miss is going to score more. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it looks something like what you're seeing in Columbia right now, 49-27, maybe 49-35, 49-38, something like that. I think Mississippi State's going to score because the Ole Miss secondary is suspect. And Lebby has done a good job this year of scheming open receivers. But, I mean, tonight they have only thrown for 4 yards per pass attempt. So it's not particularly great either. But they do have a pair of really good receivers, very susceptible on the ground. I've had some key injuries as well. So just still getting rid of some of these. You just have to give them the ball and quit overthinking things. Sometimes keep it simple. That's my stance on this. Just keep the positives of the game. I'll talk about all of it. There was a lot of good. There was some bad. But they have put themselves on the precipice of program history. But it was ugly. They did a lot of things wrong in the game. That's okay. It's football. It does happen. Pete Golding made some great adjustments. The defense stepped it up big time when it mattered. I do think they allowed Lagway to get comfortable early. It looked, he wasn't under much pressure early in the game. And that changed in the second half. Don't understand why after Chambliss hit that big run on first and 25, then you come right back and run him up the middle again. Yeah. At what point does the AD push Lane for an answer? This week. What's the news tomorrow? Things on X said tomorrow's the day we hear something. Maybe something does happen tomorrow, but I will say this. If it is a fan account, they don't know what they're talking about. You do enough guessing, eventually you will be right. But there are people that do media that I know that you trust. If it's not coming from them, or it's not coming from a place where they're like, hey, you should listen to this reporter, there's probably nothing to it. Because again, you've got these fan accounts or whatever that spend all day just tweeting into the abyss and saying things just for the hell of it. And eventually, if you guess enough, you do guess right at some point, but that's all it is. It's not anonymous bro on Twitter does not have inside information into a decision of this magnitude. So, wouldn't worry about it. How many yards will Lacey get against State? I would guess it's another 200-yard game. I mean, truly, I'm not even being sarcastic. I would guess that he has some kind of 200-yard game again, because Hardy just had 19 more yards. So he's up over 300 now. He's got 300 yards rushing tonight, Ahmad Hardy does, against Mississippi State. And that's, again, a third-string quarterback that has 100 yards passing. He's completed 8 passes, and they're still able to run the ball like that. I think the deal is done, and Keith and Lane are stringing this along to hurt other teams. I do not think that that is what's happening, but .400 yards if they only commit to rushing. Just run the triple option in the Egg Bowl. Don't listen to the trolls in the chat, guys. Just don't do it. Just got to skip through all of these. Great response by Winnie down the stretch after the drop earlier on the screen. Ooh, and that would have gone for a first down, too, if he just catches the ball. Do I think he stays? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I care more about the football. Just get to the playoff. That is what I care about. I mean, full transparency, guys. That's what I care about. That's all that matters to me. I know I'm not supposed to say what matters to me. That's what matters to me. Make the playoff. I want to see Ole Miss play a college football playoff game in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, or just play in a college football playoff game. That's what I want to see. That's what I care about. They started with the finest gift we could have received, South Carolina upsetting A&M, and then South Carolina showed back up. I mean, Beamer can't survive that, right? They're already having an awful season. And you're the first team in almost 300 tries to have a 4-touchdown lead and lose the game in a conference game. I'm not talking about replacements tonight. There's no reason to. Mario Taylor is going to destroy Ole Miss next week when they just send 3 every play. If Lebby plays him, but also a true freshman in his first start against the number 6 team in the country is just going to light the scoreboard on fire. Also, the game's not next week. I'll have to see that to believe that. What's the deal with State and Chapin and Taylor? Who should we expect to take the majority of the snaps? I mean, it would be Blake Chapin. Jeff Lebby has double and tripled down on his commitment to playing Blake Chapin and Blake Chapin being the starting quarterback of his football team. The problem is they cannot protect him at all. And, I mean, he threw 2 interceptions tonight. One was returned for a touchdown. I think one. No, I know one. Maybe there was another one, too. I don't quite understand it myself. He is committed to Blake Chapin. He's pot committed to Blake Chapin. Taylor's really talented. He's wildly inconsistent throwing the football, though, but his legs are something that Chapin does not provide. Waffle House, not top tier. Justin listens to the radio show. It gets the job done. We're going in the morning. First thing when we wake up tomorrow morning, we're going to Waffle House. There are better breakfasts than Waffle House in this area. Been saying all season, you'd rather have a home playoff game than the bye. Oh, man. No kidding. Is Ole Miss for sure in at this point? I don't think it's for sure. Let's see. The playoff predictor thing was what, 80%? But what I'm concerned about is the automatic bid process, because now Tulane won, so that's helpful. Tulane winning is helpful. But the group of 5 bid is going to come definitely from outside the top 12 at this point. And I mean, look at the ACC. Georgia Tech barely, and I mean barely, escaped Boston College today. They're sitting at 9-1, but do you have a situation on your hands where the ACC possibly gets 2 teams in? I don't think that they deserve 1, but I mean, you've got Miami ranked in the top 15, sitting at 8-2. They were impressive today. Georgia Tech is 16. They're at 9-1. What happens if you have a situation like you did a year ago, where SMU got in simply because they made the ACC championship? Now, they were 11-1 at the time, but still. And now, again, you've got the Big 12. Texas Tech is at 10-1, but BYU's number 12. They only have 1 loss. Utah only has 2 losses. They're in the top 15 as well. What happens if they get in the mix? What happens if Oklahoma runs the table? Now, you do have a win over Oklahoma. That helps a metric ton. But, I mean, there's just – there's a lot of what if that comes into play if you get the second loss. I still think that they will get in, but I don't think it's a guarantee, no doubt, for sure they're in situation. quite frankly, I think that it is, it's just better to win the Egg Bowl, obviously, but the playoff predictor being at 80% is probably right, but it's college football. College football is exclusively chaos. So, if you had to be picky, maybe pass catching. Yeah, there was, I mean, there was a couple of drops tonight. I think both of them would have gone for first downs. The sixth play of the game was called back. Yes, it was. Expansion, maybe not, but the stadium needs a renovation. Without a doubt, needs a renovation. I this is probably way too expensive. I would do like European soccer, like awning, start at the south end zone on each side and tear down the press boxes and build like two like layers of club seating and press box and media and all that stuff all the way around with like an awning, like European soccer. I think that would be sick, but that's probably way too expensive. Isn't 68K as big as some NFL stadiums? It is. It is. More seats than some. NFL stadiums are, they look bigger because they are bigger in a sense that the stadium, like there's just more depth to them because every seat is a chair back. Most electric environment you've been to start to finish. Looks like everybody was having a absolute blast there tonight. Can't wait to draft Lacey for your fantasy team. I mean, he'd get you 50 points a day at this point. So, you're going to get Mississippi State's best game every time. I think you, I mean, you will. You're not going to get a team that's going to lay down. Just like they're having a bye week before the Egg Bowl. Every Ole Miss fan knows they're kind of rusty after a bye. They'll probably have to approach this one differently. And it'll also be a little bit easier to keep their attention for this game than it was Washington State, I believe. And Kiwon needs, if nothing else, Kiwon Lacey needs the rest. Thoughts on the "We Want Lane" chant from the student section? Guys, you already have him. What do you mean "we want"? He's your current coach. I mean, I get it, but come on. Egg Bowl's going to be tough. They better be ready to play. I think they will be. If the Ole Miss secondary is so bad, then why not scheme more blitzes to get more pressure on, therefore quicker decisions by the opposing quarterback? See, it's one of two things, right? If you do that, though, you expose your secondary even more if they're able to protect it. That did happen tonight, especially in the first half. Florida was able to exploit a couple of one-on-ones in part because Ole Miss had so many guys at the line of scrimmage. If you only rush three and drop more back in coverage, you can better protect your bad secondary. I mean, I'm not a coach, so I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's just kind of how I see it. Georgia and Alabama have ugly wins. Georgia has an ugly win over Florida, and everyone says they overcome adversity. Ole Miss has an ugly win, and they're flawed. It's just college football. Well, here's the thing about me. I'm consistent, though, D. It's like when we're talking about this game, Ole Miss is flawed, but so is everybody else. Hell, Ohio State's even a little bit flawed, barely, but they are. No, Ole Miss is a flawed football team, but so are the rest of them. But we here talk specifically about Ole Miss. So I'm not breaking down the flaws of Georgia, but Ole Miss is an exceptionally good football team. It's college football. You're not going to get a perfect performance every week, and you're not going to have a team that is just perfect in every spot. No, just keep winning. And I mean, they were number seven this week. They'll be sixth on Tuesday, and it's all taking care of itself right now. Thanks for being the voice of reason. I don't know if I am or not, but I do appreciate you. Right? Just get to the college football playoff. See, that's all I care about. Just get there. Just get there. Curtis, we get it. Lane is trolling. Thank you. You don't have to comment it 100 times. Appreciate you, but holy crap, man. We get it. I'm a little salty tonight. Forgive me, guys. Did you know that Lane's visor was slightly to the right in comparison to normal? It's got to mean something. We are getting to that point, aren't we? What's the rooting guide look like for next weekend? Ole Miss. That is the rooting guide. Let's see, though. Let me get to next Saturday. Week 13. Gosh, we're already at week 13. No, I don't want to look at schedule and look at scores. I don't know why ESPN lays out their thing like this. Probably USC over Oregon. Cincinnati over BYU. Kansas State over Utah. Virginia Tech over Miami. Do you want Georgia Tech just to keep winning to be the ACC's only bid? I'll have to come back to you on that one. Maryland over Michigan. Oklahoma over Missouri, or do you want Oklahoma out of there? I think you want that win to look as good as possible, right? I think so. I'll have to think on that too. Syracuse over Notre Dame, that's not going to happen, but Syracuse over Notre Dame. Kentucky over Vanderbilt, you have not beaten them. They have two losses. Go ahead and knock them out of there as well. I think the tech guy fell asleep for Washington State, Louisiana Tech on the CW. Uh-oh. How many Ole Miss fans make the trip to Starkville, if you had to guess? I would think that that would be the biggest Ole Miss contingent at the Egg Bowl, I mean, possibly ever. I think there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of you guys down there. Tickets are very cheap and very accessible right now. So, what has to happen for Ole Miss to make the SEC championship? I think it's almost impossible. There's a matchup predictor thing online if you want to look into it. But, I mean, Georgia has the head-to-head. Well, I think Alabama also with one loss. Now, I guess they could lose to Auburn, but I don't think I'll have to look into it. That was a bad answer. I should know that answer. I know it's you need a whole lot of help, and it feels like you're not going to get it because Alabama, for whatever reason, will win a tiebreaker if the conference record is the same. A&M's obviously undefeated, and Georgia has the head-to-head win over you. So you'll need a good bit of help. But I agree with Curtis here. I don't know if – I just don't think that the SEC championship getting there is as valuable as other people do. I know it would be a first for a program. I know it would. But, yeah, and Georgia can't lose again. So Georgia has the head-to-head over you. A&M – who does A&M play this weekend? They play Samford. So – I guess there's no shot. I guess it's done, right? I guess it's done that you can't make it, which I think it's fine. I know you want a first for your program, but going to the SEC championship and losing, you would have to play an extra game, risk not hosting your playoff game. Yes, Alabama lost, but they only have one conference loss. Same as Ole Miss. Yeah, they're 8-2 now. So, but I think it's done though, right? You can't pass Georgia and you can't pass A&M. Unless they lose the tie. I don't know. Gosh, guys, I'm sorry. I know that's not the answer. That's not a good answer. I'm blowing this conversation, but. But yeah, you need to pass one of them. You're not passing Georgia. They're already ahead of you. Doesn't matter. Just beat State, host a playoff game, and it'll be all good. Sorry, yeah, completely lost momentum at the end of this end of this podcast. But that's okay because Ole Miss wins, and that is what matters. Survive in advance. They have put themselves in an absolutely incredible position here, and it is to Lane Kiffin's credit. It is to the players' credit, leadership, everybody, to put them in this spot. But it's not done yet. They got to lock back in and go beat Mississippi State, who will not be easy. I'll see you guys on Sunday, tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We'll just keep talking football. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.